Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today's message is taken from our gospel reading from the second chapter of St. Luke, with an emphasis on these words. There was a prophetess named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. It's the week after Christmas, and all around town, decorations and lights are all coming down. The stockings are boxed, the mantle is cleared. Now it's back to the office until the new year. Coming home after work, I gather the mail, and at the stack that I find, my complexion goes pale. Here's Macy's and Target, Best Buy, Amazon. And who spends that much at Bed Bath & Beyond? What fun Christmas shopping last month at the mall. I guess I forgot I'd have to pay for it all. As family heads back, I feel down in the dumps. I won't see them again for a couple of months. With Christmas now over and bills coming due, the ground may be white or gray, but I'm feeling blue. Well, friends, maybe that was a little bit much, but I have to confess to you that, especially growing up, I always felt that the week after Christmas was always a little bit of a letdown. You know, the excitement and anticipation that we feel during the Advent season reaches its climax at Christmas Eve and Christmas Day when the church is packed, and then, well, we're afterwards kind of left with all of the cold, dark months ahead, aren't we? It all just feels a little bit anticlimactic, doesn't it, after all that buildup during the Advent season? It's almost like all of our expectations were either half met, or perhaps in some cases, not met at all. I believe the reason for this feeling is that perhaps for many of us, a lot of our expectations might have been a little misplaced. Maybe, just maybe, you had expected the perfect, drama-free family gathering for Christmas like you see in the Hallmark movies, right? Only when the reality hit, you were met with all of the usual busy schedules and awkward interactions. Or maybe you expected that perfect white blanket of snow to greet you Christmas morning, you know, just like the ones you used to know in the song. But then you woke up and you find the weather not quite warm, but certainly not quite cold enough for snow, kicking off the usual southern Indiana wet, gray season. Or maybe you expected that perfect gift, or better yet, the perfect reaction from someone that you bought the perfect gift for, only for the exchange to feel just a little bit lackluster after building it up so much in your head. Yes, once the carols have been sung and the gifts have been unwrapped, it's always kind of a bummer to go back to the ordinary after the big celebration of Christmas. However, though our excitement is fading, and clearly the world around us has already moved on, I swear I saw Valentine's decorations up at Target yesterday, our gospel reading this morning from the second chapter of St. Luke, it's a wonderful reminder that the Christmas season still has so much more for us to celebrate here in the church. For the joy that we have in Jesus, it's not tied to just one special day of the calendar year, nor is it some fleeting feeling quickly replaced by the next big thing. The joy of Christ comes from the enduring promises of our God, which are made manifest at his arrival. And the great thing about those promises fulfilled by Jesus is that they never stop coming. The Lord continues to bless us here in the church through his word and his sacraments. Jesus is that perfect gift, the one that keeps on giving. So then, with that in mind, let's dig into some of the gifts that we see our God giving us in today's reading. For the text from Luke 2, it begins with Mary and Joseph bringing the infant Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to do for him according to the custom of the law, which we read about in our Old Testament reading. We'll come back to that in just a second. But I want you to note that this act is significant because it demonstrates not only the faithfulness of Jesus' earthly parents to God's promises, but it also sets the stage for the overarching theme of this passage and really for all of Luke's gospel, that being Jesus' perfect fulfillment of God's law on our behalf. Now, Luke tells us that Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple to present him to the Lord, which, as we just heard, was prescribed in the law of Moses. We read again, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn." This is what God commands in Exodus 13. Now, later, this rite gets elaborated on a bit more in Leviticus chapter 12. Here we read that a woman who gave birth to a male child was considered ceremonially unclean for a period of 40 days. Now, we read this and it seems kind of backwards to us. Childbirth, after all, is a natural and beautiful thing. But I want you to take mind of the fact that this is less about any kind of messiness associated with the act of childbirth and more to do with the fact that, as we confess, we are all born sinful and unclean. And so, at the end of this 40-day period, the mother of the child was required to offer a sacrifice, a lamb for a burnt offering and a pigeon or a pair of turtle doves for a sin offering. Now, it also states that if the woman could not afford a lamb, she had the option of bringing two birds instead. Mary and Joseph, being of humble means, we see, offer the sacrifice of the poor, two turtle doves or pigeons. This simple act of obedience underscores the humility and faithfulness of Jesus' earthly parents, as well as the meager circumstances of his birth among us. However, this points to something far greater than just a simple act of humility. The perfect obedience of Jesus himself is on display in this action. For you see, even as an infant, just a little baby, Jesus is already at work fulfilling the law of God on our behalf. And you might have noticed that these sacrifices, they were offered up because of that state of ritual impurity. Well, this can't possibly apply to Jesus, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He himself was without sin, and so he had no need of purification. And still we see he submitted to the law of God, not for his own sake, but to redeem us. St. Paul writes in Galatians 4, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." Take note of that. Though Jesus was its very author, still his entire earthly life was lived in perfect obedience to the law of God, which he himself spoke. From his circumcision on the eighth day to his presentation in the temple, to his ministry among the Jews, where he observed perfectly every ritual and every festival, and finally, to his death on Calvary's cross, where he offered himself up as the perfect offering, the perfect sacrifice for our sins, Jesus fulfilled every requirement of the law, and he did so in totality. Where you and I have failed, he succeeded. Where we have transgressed, he remained blameless. And what's more, he did it all for us. He submitted himself in order to reconcile us to our God and Father and to give us the gift of eternal life. And still, this fulfillment is only the very first gift that we read about in our gospel lesson. For as Mary and Joseph present Jesus in the temple that day, they encounter two faithful servants of the Lord named Simeon and Anna. These two saints embody the hope and anticipation of God's faithful people. We read first about Simeon, that he had been waiting for the consolation of Israel, and that the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Next, we read about Anna, a prophetess. She had devoted her life to worship, fasting, and prayer, and she looked for the redemption of Jerusalem. When Simeon first comes and takes the infant Jesus in his arms, he can do nothing upon seeing the child but burst into a song of praise. He utters words of wonder that would become for the church one of the most beautiful hymns in all of our hymnody. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Simeon's song, known as the Nunc Dimittis, is a beautiful expression of the faith and the joy that accompany the presence of Christ Jesus. These words acknowledge that Jesus is the fulfillment not just of the law, but of all God's promises. And, if you noticed, not just for his chosen people Israel, all the places that you might expect these promises to come, but no, Jesus gives them to the Gentiles as well, to the entire world, which includes you and me. In Jesus, Simeon saw delivered the salvation of God, the light that will shine upon the Gentiles and the glory of God's chosen people. Anna, too, responds with joy and thanksgiving. As she comes into the temple that day, she begins to speak of Jesus to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. For this, too, is the gift that Christ comes to bring, redemption. These two elderly saints remind us that the joy of Christmas is not just for a single day. Their joy is established by the presence of Christ, who brings redemption, salvation, and peace to his people. And what's more, this joy is enduring. Because the promises of Christ, just like his presence among us in the church, it does not ebb and flow with the changing of seasons. The gifts given to those saints of old, they are extended to us today. Like Simeon and Anna, we too have the privilege of encountering our Lord Jesus. Though we do not see him with our eyes, he comes to us continually, each time that we gather in this house of worship, in a way that is even more profound than he did for those blessed saints in the temple that day. For Christ is present now among us through his means of grace, through baptism, through the Eucharist, and through his word. These are the channels through which Christ communicates his constant gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation to us. Through the waters of baptism, Christ joins us to himself. He washes away our sins, and he clothes us in the robe of his righteousness. In the sacrament of the altar, Jesus feeds us with his very body and blood, strengthening our faith and assuring us of his presence with us to forgive our sins. And at last, in his word, Christ Jesus speaks to us, proclaiming the good news of his victory over sin, death, and the devil. And he gives us still more words of promise that are yet to be realized on the last day. You might notice, friends, that none of these gifts are one-time events. They are the constant means by which our Lord continually comes to us, by which he sustains us in our faith, and by which he gives us his peace. Just as Simeon and Anna rejoiced in the presence of Christ, so too can we rejoice, and not just at those big celebrations that come and go once a year, but we rejoice every single day. For we know that he is always with us, and he shows us that his blessings never cease. As we approach the end of the Christmas season, it's natural to feel that sense of letdown as we look at the world around us. The decorations come down, the carols fade, and the excitement of the season gives way to the routines of daily life. But the joy of Christmas is not dependent on the trappings of the season. It is grounded in the reality of what our God has done and continues to do for us in Christ. James 1, verse 17 reminds us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation and no shadow due to change. As Pastor Edwards reminded us on Christmas Day, the greatest gift that God could ever give is that gift which he gives us in his Son Jesus, who came into our world to save sinners like us. He himself, then, is that gift which keeps on giving, because he continues to come to us. He always comes to this place, showering us with blessing upon blessing wherever his name is proclaimed. In the forgiveness of sins, we find peace with God and the assurance that we are his beloved children. In the reading and hearing of the gospel, we hear the good news that Christ has conquered sin and death for us. And in his Holy Supper, we receive a foretaste of that heavenly feast which is still to come. These are gifts that sustain us, even when the joy of Christmas begins to feel like a distant memory. Because Christ has fulfilled the law for us, and because he has given us his gifts, we are called to live in light of his grace. We walk in faith knowing that our God remembers his promises, and just like the blessed Saint Anna, we share the joy of Christ with others, speaking of him to all who are still looking, still seeking God's redemption. By these acts of witness and devotion, we give our thanks to God for his countless blessings, recognizing that every good and perfect gift comes from his hand. Therefore, as we move through the last few days of this Christmas season, we remember that the joy of Christ is not a fleeting emotion, but an abiding reality. Jesus truly is God's gift, which keeps on giving. His perfect fulfillment of the law has secured for us reconciliation with our Father and eternal life in his kingdom. And now, through his word and sacraments, he continues to bless us, sustain us, and strengthen us in our faith. And so, though the seasons march on, the church continually, constantly, joins our voices to those saints who came before us, joining our voices in hymns of thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.